Okay. Thank you, brother. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is continuing on in our series of Cloud of Witnesses. And you might wonder, why are we 1 Thessalonians 4, and then I'm going to be taking you to Deuteronomy, and like, what in the world is going on here? Well, yeah, it is a rabbit trail, but, you know, I never intended that. So hold your fingers there in 1 Thessalonians 4, and then we're just going to go back to Hebrews and read that verse that got me all off on a different, well, it's not a different tangent, it's just into more detail. I never expected to linger on verse 29 for so long. This is part 5 of verse 29. So Hebrews 11:29. By faith, they passed, and they is referring to what's in verse 25 above there. 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So that's the people of God, the children of Israel, children of Jacob that had gone into Egypt. And now things were going really good, but now things are going really bad. And so by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. So here they're fleeing Egypt. It's called the Exodus, exiting Egypt, Exodus, exit. We all know what an exit is, right? When you have, there's a fire or something going on, and here we would head for the exit. Well, they were under a lot of persecution there. That's not how they had gone in to Egypt, but that's how it ended up. They're in a lot of persecution, and so they're fleeing Egypt, and the Egyptian army is chasing them, and it looks like certain death because they're trapped with mountains on one side and mountains on the other side and a big sea in the front of them, the Red Sea. And but God delivered them, parted the Red Sea so that they walked and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. But you're saying to me, well, the army is right behind them. They'd catch up, right? Well, they would if it wasn't for the fact that God stood between them and the Egyptian army. It was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the children of Israel. They crossed on dry land, and the Egyptian army is chasing after them, getting out there on this dry land. They got big water on one side and big water on the other side, and they're going with their army, and they're chasing after the children of Israel. And then their wheels start falling off. They start getting stuck in the mud because it starts getting wet on the ground. And then they go, oh, we did the wrong thing. We're up against the God of Israel. And so they try to turn around, and no, the water came down on them and killed them all, killed the whole army. Well, so why did I linger on this? Because I just had gone back to Exodus chapter 15 and looking at the Song of Moses and singing about the triumph, the horse and the rider. God is cast into the sea. We will triumph gloriously because God has cast the horse and rider into the sea. And so what a nice song to sing. And it got me thinking about the Song of Moses. Well, I had heard about a Song of Moses in our previous series in Revelation. I thought, well, that's probably the Song of Moses. Well, then I go to discover that there's one in Deuteronomy as well. The song in Deuteronomy. Well, I start reading the song in Deuteronomy. It looks kind of confusing to me. So I thought, well, maybe that's the song that they're going to sing in Revelation chapter 15. You still got your finger there in 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, while you're doing that, let's just keep that there. But let's look at Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3. So here's these people that have survived the persecution, or maybe not survived, but let's see, start in verse 1, Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. That's the last plagues in the tribulation period. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So they're in glory already. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So they're singing the song of Moses. Well, I was thinking back then, I was thinking it was the song of victory over the Egyptian army. But then when I look at this other song of Moses in Deuteronomy, and we'll get there, but for now, let's just read the conclusion of today's sermon first, so that, because I'm quite sure we'll finish. This will just be the last, it'll be part five of five parts here. So let's read the conclusion first. And the conclusion is here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, sanctification means to be set apart. Holiness, to be set apart. And that means to be set apart for righteousness. We know that our default position as a lost person is to sin. When we get saved, the reason we desire to get saved is because we wanted righteousness. We understood our personal wickedness. Salvation is not when you go, oh, the world is so bad and everything, I think I'll join the church. That's not salvation. Salvation is knowing your personal wickedness, where Jesus said it's from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all the wickedness. It's not your environment that caused you to be wicked. It wasn't the devil that made you do it. The devil can tempt, and he can bring things that can enable you, but it's from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all these evil things. When you recognize that, and you understood that there's no way out, and you trusted Christ for salvation, then you were justified. That means that Christ's righteousness, 100%, his pure, holy righteousness was put on your account.
Amen.
What are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna do to make any difference in that account? Nothing. No matter how good, there's no goodness that you could, because anyway, that's pure, holy righteousness. That's the only way you can stand before God. But now you're a child of God, right? We're at all different levels as a child of God. And so, what is it, the first thing? Well, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Remember what the Apostle Paul did? Now, he was quite a righteous fellow. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees,
you'll in no wise enter the kingdom.
You'll in no wise enter in the kingdom of God. Thank you, brother. Unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And then what is his first question? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's what a believer does. Asks God, what do we have me to do? And well, first thing we do, get into his word and see what he'd have me to do. Oh my, am I ever unholy? Am I ever more of a sinner than I thought? Because God's word is a mirror. His word is a mirror that shows me how bad I am. And we can't even... And so that's what is. Growth is a thing that happens over time. And that is sanctification. So what, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So we're reading it right now. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, all those wicked things, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians is, and 2 Thessalonians, but 1 Thessalonians has got so much about the second coming of Jesus Christ. First chapter, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, that you turn to God from idols to serve the living God, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Jesus Christ is in heaven, and we're waiting for his Son to return. And chapter 2, verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, talking about the believers there in Thessalonica, even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, verse 13 in chapter 3, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable. What? Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's here in his spirit. He's with us. God is everywhere present. But he's also returning physically, and we will be caught up to be with him. What do you want to be living like when that happens?
Amen.
Don't you want to? Isn't that embarrassing when you do? And some people use the word fall into sin. Well, when we walk into sin. Don't do that, Ron. Don't do that. Be walking in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not like a stick over us. That's not like a, beat you down stick. Like, Jesus is coming, so you better straighten up. No, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be. Don't you want to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father? Don't you want to be pleasing to God? And we're weak. And, don't you remember when you were a young child? And you knew you were doing... I'm just thinking of one incident right now. You knew you were doing something wrong. I was about, 7 or 8. Doing something wrong. Against my parents. Which is against God too, right? And I to be honest, I recall doing the wrong thing. Once it came to my mind that I was doing the wrong thing, yeah, but those other boys are doing the same thing. Not good. Now I'm remembering how old I was. I was 6 or 7. I wasn't saved at the time. But it still makes a good... I have sinned since being saved. It just so happens I do remember now exactly how that all turned out. And it was... That's another story for another time. But... So as an adult here now, I'm an adult and I'm like a child. I'm doing the wrong thing. And I know I'm doing the wrong thing. And so that's a good time to stop it. And you know, I just told you, I don't like to tell on myself a lot, but I did. Remember I told you about a lie that I did to a friend, to a coworker? The Holy Spirit talked to me right there. I could have stopped. And even if I hadn't stopped, I could have just apologized right there. But I didn't. I didn't. I was being disobedient. And to the Lord. And thank God, he provided a way that I could go to that other location that that employee was. Like, that's a miracle that he was there. Because it was early. It was like 5 miles away from where I needed to be. And he and I had to be at our respective places at the same time. And thank God he was early. I was able to explain to him, I lied to you. But God gave me the strength, gave me the liberty, and the freedom now. I'm free. That's the will of God for your life, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's the first thing on the list, fornication. I can't speak for women because I don't know where. I think it's true that women think different than men. And I think it's appropriate that you do think different than us because we learn a lot from women. Because we are told that we're the bride of Christ, men. We men and women, we are the bride of Christ. So when we think that the woman is thinking of something strange, well, maybe that's how the Lord is looking on us. Something strange. And in a similar way, women, when they're looking at men and how we conduct ourselves. Is that the way God, because God our Father, is that the way he uses his authority? And so, yes, we're like women in the sense that we're the bride of Christ. And so sometimes we don't, there's times when God says that there are things that we do that would not have entered into his mind. Well, these are bad things, but... but now I'm getting into a different topic here. Okay, let's stick with the theme here is that God wants even our sanctification. Okay, that's easy to understand, I think. He wants us not to be unclean, but he wants us to be clean. And so there's many things that we're not clean on. And in a lot of ways, that's where a pastor comes in. Because a pastor can... Number one, he has the authority, for one thing. He's the captain of the team. And he has this... God is expecting him to address the issues that have come up in the church. Now, we all have different levels of authority. So, how does this fit into how I got hung up on Deuteronomy chapter 32? Well, before we go to chapter 32 again, let me just point out 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, and with that, if you're at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we will stand, and if you're able to stand, we'll stand, and we're going to read God's word. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Remember, we just talked about the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea, and so the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, talking about manna and the water that was coming out of the rock. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink which they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. Examples, young people, you know what an example is? That's something to follow after, okay? Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to drink, eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. That's referring back to Numbers 25, verse 1. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember, serpents were killing people there, and Moses lifted up the brazen serpent that they could look and live. And verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. That's a good thing to know. If you're tempted, don't think you're the only one that's tempted that way. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That's promised to the believer. All right. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, and that it'd be an edification to the folks here, and that it'd be bringing praise and glory to thy name. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, please be seated. And so that rock was Christ. The fellow was asking me last, that visitors that were came, he was asking, well, you know, is Jehovah there in the Old Testament? Is that Christ? Yes, I said, it is. Like, that rock was Christ, the rock that followed them. We're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's the pre-incarnate. You know, incarnate, young people know what incarnate means, right? Incarnate. Somebody want to speak up as to what incarnate means? Incarnation of Jesus Christ. All right, somebody older, like, you want to say what incarnation means? No? I don't want to call out names of the young people in public recording. Okay. So just making eye contact here.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus Christ was born as a baby, right? So before he was born as a baby, he's what is the Lord in the Old Testament. And he is that rock that followed the Israel, and also that they followed him, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so what do we see? We see this other song of Moses. It's in Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, and and this is kind of a sad song in a way. Well, no, it's not a sad song. It's a glorious song in the fact that chapter 32, this song, the song goes up to verse 43. And it's all of human history in a nutshell. It is an amazing chapter. That's why I can't get through it in five lessons. I'm going to have to cut this one off, and we're not going to come back to it for a while. But I'm not going to exhaust it. It's not exhausted yet. Because this chapter, unbeknownst to them, because we're going to concentrate, I just hate to leave some of this stuff. Well, let's just, you know, we just finished reading in 1 Corinthians that this was the rock that followed them, okay? So let's just look at the rock here in Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4, he is the rock. Now, who is he? Okay, so verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, it's all in, you know, that's Jehovah, ascribe ye greatness unto our God, Elohim, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. That's his perfection is what's put on your account when you get saved.
Amen.
His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. So that's the rock we're talking about. And verse 13, he made him, so he's talking about the nation of Israel, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he may eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and that's symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and oil out of the flinty rock. They got honey out of the rock. They got oil out of the rock. They got water out of the rock. Living waters, spiritually, but physical water out of the rock. And verse 15, but Jeshurun, that's when Israel, so God calls Israel Jeshurun when they're receiving all the blessings of the land of and the promised land. And but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and what? Lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So Israel was still not cast off. God sent judges into the land. Remember? God sent judges into the land. And that's verse 15 here. Seven times they rejected God. Seven times he struck them. Seven times he brought them out. One another way that you know if you're a believer or not is when you do sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you. And if you're disobedient, God chastens them whom he loves. Those whom he loves, he chastens. And so the Israel as a nation is an example of what we are as an individual. God chasing them, chasing after them, chastening them. And so God will chasten you. If you are a believer in Christ, then God will chasten you. He won't allow you to just wallow in your sin, pouting, you know, how it is with parents. Don't you also discipline your children when they're pouting? Because pouting is bad too. Like, what's the root of that? What's the root of that? And they sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not, and to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock, so verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Now, you got to realize, this is still part of the song. Now, I looked this song up, I thought, well, surely somebody's singing this song. Well, they sing this song in Israel, but the only ones that I could find, they cut it short here. They cut it out to, where, say, verse 11 and verse 12 or verse 13. Yeah, verse 13. Verse 14, they cut it off there. There's different ones. They cut it off before this part. But this is a song they have to keep singing because I'm quite sure that a lot of people in Israel that have trusted Christ for salvation, they're singing the whole song because it just gets better. Because here, so the concentration I want, so I'm skipping a bunch of things. But verse 21, well, let's just finish with rock here for now. Okay, so of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Okay, that's the children of Israel, the book of Judges, the book of Kings and Chronicles, the books of 2 Kings, of Esther, of Ezra, Nehemiah. But then we see rock again in verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them? And we're talking about Israel here. Israel's going to be chased around. They're going to be scattered, and they were scattered for 2,000 years to all the other nations, except that their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock, the Gentiles' rock, the ungodly, their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Meaning that even like the enemies, like say the army of Pharaoh, they recognized, oh, this is not Israel we're up against. This is their God. Little too late. And so even the enemies themselves are judges of the fact that God is the rock. He is the only rock. And so in verse 21, they have moved me, and so God is speaking here, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Well, foolish nation. That's us Gentiles. Now, I'm quite surprised. Just recently, there's been a big attack on verse 8 of this psalm. When we covered this just briefly last time. When the Most High divided them to the nations their inheritance. So this is talking about in Genesis, when the dividing of the nations with the Tower of Babel. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the people of Israel. He arranged it. Like those nations that were split up, the Tower of Babel, this verse is telling us it was based on what he was going to do concerning creating this new nation, Israel. He hadn't created Israel yet, but it was based, that division was based. So there's perversions of the Bible out now that take out the word Israel there and they put in Elohim. Okay. Because as we discovered, remember, I get on rabbit trail because we were talking about Revelation, and I had to sidestep and get onto a whole study about the topic of Israel, that they're still God's people, because there's so many people call themselves Christians that think that Israel is done away with. How does that fit with the scriptures? That Israel, the whole point of Israel is to show God's faithfulness. He has set them apart for a time, but he is going to, and he is currently, moving them to jealousy with those of us that are not a people, that are a foolish nation. And so we have to skip a bunch of things because we do want to get back to Hebrews chapter 11 next time. And so we're going to skip a bunch of really good things, but this is a good place. This is verse 21. We're going to look at Romans chapter 11. And Brother Arlen, Brother Arlen knows where this is going.
Amen. Yeah. Good.
Now, you remember chapter 9 is Israel in the past, that they were elected. Israel in the past, they were elected. Romans chapter 10, it's at the time of the writing, and even now it's Israel being rejected, present time. But in the future, chapter 11 is talking about a future Israel being accepted. Now here, we see here in Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Well, let's start at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And I believe that's literal.
Amen.
I believe that's literal. I believe it's North and South America. I believe it's the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. God has set Israel aside for a time. Look at verse 10 or verse 9 of chapter 11. Chapter 11, Romans 11, 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. If they're singing that song in Israel, and I believe many are, I'm talking Deuteronomy 32. Sure, it's really good to be singing Exodus 15 when things are going well. But why are things going so bad? Well, look at the other song. And I think, we're not told, we don't know, but I think Revelation 15 is probably singing both songs, really. And especially 32, because 32 is the whole story of mankind, all wrapped up in one song, including the setting aside of Israel and then the restoration of Israel. And so, verse 12 of chapter 11, now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And so, we are grafted in, and we dare not be arrogant, thinking that we're something special, when really, our job is to take instruction, because what is the will of God? What must I do? Lord?
What will thou have me to do?
Thank you, brother. What wilt thou have me to do? And we read that in 1 Thessalonians. This is the will of God for your life, even your sanctification. So how's that going, folks? How's that going? And the first item there was fornication. Men, watch your eyes. I mean, men and women too, but I'm just saying that that's a big one. Don't be cocky. Just be following God, trusting God. And God will be your strength. And so, but okay, so that's one in the list. And I believe it's big. But the fornication can apply to so much else, because they were fornicating. Fornication was talking about Israel, was how they went for other gods. Right? So it's a bigger subject than just the physical or the that sexual part. But so when we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we saw there, now these things, that's verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Remember, there's a long list of evil things in the scriptures, and that goes all kinds of detail. That's but neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. And I'm going to take the time to just point out here. Fell in one day 23,000. So if you look, and now we won't, but if you looked at Numbers 25:1, it'll say 24,000. Oh, contradiction. Well, that's a good book there, that book about...
things hard to be understood.
Things hard to be understood. That's what Peter said of Paul. He said there are some things that Paul discusses in teaching doctrine, some things that are hard to be understood. And so Brother Cloud, or I don't know who wrote that book, Brother Cloud maybe wrote this book on things. I'm glad I read a good portion, or maybe all of it. This one says, fell in one day, 23,000. In the record of it, 24,000 died. Well, I take it to be that there was 1,000 that didn't die on that day, but they died because of that plague. So, things that are not so obvious at first, then you look at, oh, well, yeah, this is more specific. 23,000 fell on one day. So, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, what I'm getting at is the song of Moses in Deuteronomy 23 is, because it's talking about us. It's talking about the mystery. We're not going to get into that. I have all these verses on mystery. The mystery is revealed in the New Testament.
Amen.
Now, there's still the mystery of iniquity that hasn't been revealed. And we're not interested in that because we're not going to be here.
Amen.
But the mystery of iniquity, chapter 32 of Deuteronomy is talking all about us. About us now in this time. That's what a beautiful song. And those that are singing the first 14 verses, they sing it in a really nice way. It's a nice song. And singing is another part of the believer. Is there a song in your heart? If there's no song in your heart, now, it may not be, when it comes out of your mouth, it might not be melodious, but it can. I mean, you can work on that, but that's not the important thing. Is it melodious to God? Is it in your heart, singing, praising to God in your heart? And, I'm just singing and praising God. This discovery, you know, the first, I was just beginning to understand that, and I haven't fleshed it out here, but on the fourth, part four, I was beginning to understand it. Now, part five, I don't fully understand it, but I'm glad that I went this far to see that that song is a foretelling of the history of the whole world, and how it's happened. So we won't go into detail on that anymore, but I just used to gloss over that. Now it's really rich. Okay, so Lord willing, next time we're going to be back in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see what's the next thing on the list here for witnesses of God's greatness, witnesses the cloud of witnesses to God and his goodness. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We pray that we would not have that attitude of thinking that we stand. It's you that stands, and we are little children coming to you, and we want to mature. Like we do want to say that we have some maturity in thee, because you are a good father and a good teacher and a good leader and a good great shepherd of the flock. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd. And so we do desire a pastor. We look forward, dear God. We believe that you will provide. But while we do know that you are with us, the but is that we need to be sanctified. Why would you send somebody to a rebellious group of church people? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we wouldn't be rebellious to thy Holy Spirit and to thee and thy word? And then a pastor could come and lead us forward, not just dealing with immature things in our lives, but mature stuff, that we can go forward with thee. And so, we know, dear God, that you do care for each one of us. You know where each one of us is with thee, and you care for each one. We just thank thee for this. And we pray for those that do not know thee, that they would understand, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for all thy goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.